Welcome to the weekly teaching podcast message from Christian Singles in Denver.com. My name is Brian Cluth. Jane Stoles and I started a community-wide Tuesday night ministry for single and single-again Christian adults that meets at Mission Hills Church in Littleton, Colorado. Every Tuesday, we offer a catered meal, inspirational message, and interactive small group table discussions. Because our messages have been so well received, we started this weekly teaching podcast to serve hundreds of singles that are part of our group, their friends, and many more singles in our community, across the country, and even around the world. At ChristianSinglesInDenver.com, you also find the weekly handout for this message and the video. We trust this teaching will be a help and a blessing to you personally, and that God will also bring to mind other single and single again adults you know that you can tell about this ministry and send this message to. God bless you.
Okay, the advantages of being a woman. We always have food in the house. We can cook our own food. Our friends ask us how we're doing. If our hair turns gray, we can dye it. We know all the details about our children's lives, and probably a few others. When we are short, people say we are petite. Men, when you're short, hey, you're just short. We smell better. We don't make loud bodily noises in public. We don't worry about going bald. And we know how to have more than a 60-second conversation.
Thank you, Jane. She got a little red on that one. All right. Advantages to being a man. A 5-day vacation requires only one suitcase or duffel bag. Okay. I just took my son to Sydney, to the airport today, so he can go to Sydney, Australia, and New Zealand for 6 months. And so he had one suitcase for 6 months. Men, your bathroom lines are 80% shorter. Men, you can go to the bathroom without a support group. That's good. Men, your last name will never have to change. Men, when your work is criticized, you don't have to panic that everybody secretly hates you. Men, you can always kill your own food. Men, everything on your face stays its original color. Think about that one. Men, you can be showered and ready in 10 minutes flat. Next one here is getting a wedding planned and organized can happen without your help. And last one here, number 10, if another guy shows up at the party in the same outfit, you two might become lifelong buddies. Does everybody have handouts tonight? We need handouts. If you don't have a handout, we'll have someone get you one, okay? All right. Well, I want to give you, again, a little perspective here on these differences, men and women, and why would I be sharing some of these things, or where do I get some of these ideas from? One is I had 9 years over my adult life of being a single adult, including the last couple, and I've had many women friends and some dating relationships. I had 28 happily married years to a great woman, and she taught me a lot about what women are all about, and so thankful for her. I have one adopted daughter from India, and I have three honorary daughters from South America that lived with our family for multiple years after they graduated from high school in South America, so I related to these young women for a number of years. I was a CEO of an organization and worked with my female staff. I was a senior pastor working with men and women and counseling couples. And I also have read my Bible a lot. And Genesis 5:2 says this, He, speaking of God, created them male and female. He blessed them and called them humans when he created them. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Okay? Male and female. The whole gender difference is completely God's idea. And when God looked down at man after he made him, he looked at that man and he said, that man needs help. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed since Adam was created. Ever since then, man has needed help. God created women. Both of them were made by God, were created by God. Here's one of the challenges most people have when it comes to thinking about men or thinking about women. They think in terms of right or wrong. It's not right or wrong. It's just different. It's just different. But you have to understand and know the differences so you can respect and honor those people of the opposite sex in your life. And so we're going to be looking at a number of different attributes or aspects of men and women, and just so you can understand, oh, that's different. Some of these things you've heard, some of these things you'll know, some of these things you'll recognize right away. There might be a couple that'll be a bit of a surprise to you. And the idea here is what I say tonight can help you think about your past relationships. What I say tonight will help you understand what happened in the past. I also believe what I say tonight can help you currently. These ideas of male and female differences aren't just in dating relationships or romance or in marriage. They're in all aspects of life. So if you have children or adult children, if you have aging parents still alive, if you work with men or you work with women, a lot of these aspects will be very, very applicable to almost every situation in life. And so that's just helpful to know. The other thing that's going to help you in the future. In the future, some of these things will help you know how to navigate the future. So what are some of these things? Number one here is women have code words that men don't always understand. Men have code words that men don't always understand. Actually, I was at Woodman Valley Chapel once hearing a comedian talk about this, and I realized how right he was. The word I'm specifically thinking of is the word we. We. Now, gentlemen, a lot of you did not know this, but when a woman says the word we, you have to ask, which we is she talking about? Okay? There's lots of different we's. Now, to a man, he gets very confused by this. But a woman might say to a man, let's say you're married, a woman might say to a man, well, honey, we need to cut the grass. Okay? Now, don't think you're going to get any help cutting the grass because she used the word we. That's a he-we. That's a he-we. You have to understand that sometimes women use words like we, but she's not referring to we. She's referring to you, which is the he-we. It's a he-we. My daughter, this actually worked with my daughter the other day. You know, we were talking about it, and she said, Dad, you know, we need to put up the decorations for Christmas. And I had to ask myself the question, which we was she referring to? And a lot of that we was me. It was a he-we kind of a conversation that my 16-year-old daughter was giving me. A woman might say to a man, you know, we need to go shopping. We need to go shopping. Now, the man might be thinking to himself, I don't need to go shopping, but she doesn't really mean you. She just wants to include you if you want to come. It's really that it's a she-we. She-we wants to go shopping, but she doesn't want to just go off on her own. She wants to make sure you're included, and so she'll use the word we. So sometimes women use the word, and it's a she-we. Sometimes women will use the word we. They might say, well, we need to lose weight, and that might be a we-we. Okay? So a woman is saying, you know, referring to herself, referring to you, and it's a wee-wee kind of a conversation. When I heard this comedian talking about this, I had this very clear image in my mind, because my wife had been saying for about 6 months, we need to get new blinds. And I kept saying, yes, yes. And I thought what she was saying, now that I understand the terminology, I thought she was saying that she was going to go get new blinds and it was going to cost hundreds of dollars, and I kept saying yes because I was trying to say, sure, go ahead and spend the money. But after I learned this, I went in the car and I said, you know, you keep saying we need to get new blinds and you're not getting any blinds. She said, no, that's a he-we. I've been asking you for months to go get new blinds. And I said, no. I said, this has to be a we-we because if I go get blinds, and then I don't get the right color, and if I don't get the right type, and if I don't like this, me-wee's going to be mad that I went and bought blinds, and then she-wee, you didn't like them, and now I got to take them back. So I said, we need to get in the car, and we need to go get blinds, and that's what we need to do. And then when I get home, we need to find they-wee to put them up, because I don't like doing that stuff. Yes. All right. So, gentlemen, you now have been put on notice. When a woman, a daughter, a woman at work ever uses the word we, always answer in your mind, gentlemen, which we is she referring to? And if necessary, ask. Okay. So that's one little tip. Women use code words that men don't always understand. Next one here is one secret. Every woman and every man must know for better communications. This applies to all male and female relationships of all types and sizes and ages. And understand that if a woman says something to a man, he didn't necessarily hear it. Just because you talked does not mean a man heard you, okay? If you want a man to hear you, ladies, you have to have his undivided attention. He cannot be looking at a screen. He cannot be looking at a book. He cannot be looking at a newspaper. He cannot be looking at his computer, at a TV. He cannot be working on a project. He cannot be doing anything but truly stopping, putting his hands down, and looking at you, and then you've got a chance. He's going to hear you, okay? But a lot of women sometimes talk at a man, and they don't talk with a man. And so, ladies, you have to learn to talk with the man, but to do that, you have to have his attention. If you don't do that, you will be frustrated because you'll think, well, I told you. But just because you told him did not mean he heard it. Or the other thing a lot of men have is they have short-term memory things going on, and they'll grunt, and they'll nod, and they'll even say yes. That means nothing, you know, because it just went into short-term memory. You know, even with my own kids, sometimes my kids will talk to me and I'll say, Jeremy, how did your basketball game go? And he's like, Dad, you just asked me 5 minutes ago. I already told you. But I'm like, Jeremy, I wasn't paying attention when you answered. So, okay, tell me again. You now have my attention. How did the basketball game go? Another thing that happens with men, at least it certainly happens with me, is sometimes my wife would ask me a question and I'd be so focused on what I was doing that I heard a sound in the distance, which was her voice. And it would be like, okay, I know she just said something to me. And it'd be like there was like this little thing in my mind, and it's like her words came in over here, and they began to make their way to my brain. But sometimes it would just take like minutes from when she said something to like knowing she said, I knew she said something, but then literally having to finally get it to my brain and then say, now what did you say again? Can you tell me again? And so sometimes men are just so focused that it just takes a while to get to their brain. So you have to be patient, ladies, when you talk to men. You have to get their attention. You have to be patient. And sometimes it really helps if you write some things down. I used to frequently tell my wife, I'd say, don't just tell me things. Please write them down. A short pencil is better than a long memory. My dad taught me that. A short pencil is better than a long memory. And if you're working with men, relating to men, a short pencil is better than a long memory. I tell my son to clean his room or to pick something up or to do something. And you know what? Frequently it's not done. And that, you know, because it's got into short-term memory, and literally with him I have to make some changes. The other thing that's kind of funny about this, some friends of mine in Minneapolis, and one day the 13-year-old son and the 17-year-old sister were at the kitchen table. Well, I don't know quite what happened, but the sister just got incensed with her brother. Oh, was she mad. She got up and she was hopping mad, and she was screaming at him, and she was yelling at him, and she was just infuriated with him, you know, and he's just eating his Cheerios and looking at this Cheerio box, and she just tees off on him, and she lets him have it, and finally she's just so infuriated, she stomps off mad. And the mother literally said to the 13-year-old son, Isaac, I'm so proud of you. And he looks up and says, about what? Well, Amy just called you all those names and she said all those things about you. And you didn't react. You didn't fight back. You didn't do anything. And he said, was she talking to me? So that 17-year-old sister just teed off for 5 minutes. Clueless. She did not have his attention. And so you just have to learn, when you're dealing with men, you have to have their attention. The next one here. Women are like spaghetti, and men are like waffles. How many have heard this one? So a number of you have, okay. Women are like spaghetti, and men are like waffles. With women, all of life is all mixed together. Every aspect. The children, the work, the finances, the in-laws, the outlaws, the you know, how they're feeling about themselves, whatever's going on in life, it's all together. And men are incredibly compartmentalized. They have little tiny boxes in their brain, okay? And there's like, okay, this is my kid box, and this is my work box, and this is my sports team box, and all of this. And here's what you have to understand, ladies. You can talk to a man about any one box at a time, or any one compartment at a time, and he can carry on a conversation about that box. What you are not allowed to do as women is do multiple boxes. A man's brain cannot do that. You can't jump in 17 directions, even though you can do it. But gentlemen, you have to understand that a woman can jump in 17 directions very, very quickly. And so on one hand, women, you have to understand that when you're relating to men, very important to keep the conversation focused on one thing and not multiple things. And some of these women, when they fight unfair. And someone says they don't get hysterical, they get historical. Okay. And so they're fighting about one thing, but they bring up something from 3 months or 3 years ago. And a man, he just can't handle that. So with men, it's very, very compartmentalized, and you can talk about any box or any little compartment at a time. With women, it's very, very different. I was talking to my brother. He was a high school basketball coach. And he coached guys for quite a while, and then he shifted over to girls basketball and did very, very well as a high school basketball coach, had a great career doing that. And one time I said to him, what is the difference between coaching men and coaching women? You know what he said? Oh, that's easy. He said a young man could have just failed all of his classes. His parents could have just gone through a divorce. He could have just gotten into a fight with somebody, some other guy. He may have had some other problems in his life, but now he's on the basketball court and it's all about basketball. He said it absolutely. A man can block everything else out and just absolutely focus on the task at hand. He said, but then I went to coach girls basketball. And he says, so I'm coaching the girls basketball, and the girls walking, coming up the court, dribbling the ball, crying, crying. We've got to stop the practice. I got to stop over. I got to go put my arm around her. Once about my boyfriend, he broke up with me. And he said, and I've got to, you know, calm her down and get her to focus and say, okay, it's okay, it's okay, you know. And he said, it's just completely different. Completely different. So that spaghetti thing that goes on for women, everything affects everything. But for men, they very much focus. It's kind of like the old Christmas tree lights. You know, have you ever been with those Christmas tree lights where if you take out one bulb, they all go out, okay? For women, that's kind of what it can sometimes be. I just talked with I have a staff member today, and she, for the first time in years, made a couple mistakes. Literally, she hasn't made mistakes in years. And so I talked to her on Friday about a couple mistakes that happened, and then I said, okay, let's talk on Monday. And I said, I'm not worried about the mistakes, I'm worried about you. I'm having problems with my husband. So, you know, and I had to say, okay, then that's where we're going to focus. The problems we can get over, the mistakes that happen, no big deal. You never make mistakes, it's okay. But as a man, I had to focus. I had to realize that her work life was being affected by her personal life. And I had to pay attention. So some of the light bulbs went out. But there's also those kind of light bulbs sometimes where some can go out and some stay on, all right? And with men, this is an interesting thing. Imagine a string of 15 light bulbs and only one is working. A man goes, yes, that one works. Okay, everything else in my life's a mess, but look at this. And a man can be very, very excited about his one light bulb, okay? And so it's just different how we relate as men and as women, and you just have to understand that there are differences. Also, you need to understand when it comes to men, and this idea of waffles or compartments, some people like to say men have boxes, and inside a topic, there's all kinds of things they can talk about. But one of the men's biggest boxes is his nothing box. Okay, his nothing box. Okay. And women, you will sometimes say to a man, well, what are you thinking? And he'll say, what? Nothing! Okay, here's the truth. He's not lying to you. He really is not lying to you. There is just nothing going on in the nothing box. And so you're like, oh, there's got to be something. You've got to be thinking something. No, I'm just living in my nothing box. And just understand, ladies, that they're not, men aren't holding secrets from you. They're just living sometimes in their nothing box. And they're not trying to hurt your feelings. They're not trying to keep secrets from you. It's just the way men sometimes are. One of those compartments is their nothing box. So, and we're, all men have them, myself included. All right, next one here. Men and women count differently when men demonstrate their love for a woman. Men and women count, C-O-U-N-T, differently when men demonstrate their love for a woman. Okay. Women tend to count mainly by ones, 1 point, occasionally a 2 point or 5 point experience. Men count in 50s and 100s. Okay. A man will sometimes go weeks, months, maybe even a year without doing something very special if you're married, for, let's say, for a wife. Okay, so a whole year can go by, and then he goes, oh, I better do something. Okay, so he'll go out and buy something she wanted, or he'll take her on a nice date, or they'll go on a trip, they'll do something. And so a man literally in his mind goes, man, that was worth 100 points. I'm good for another year, okay? Just kind of the way how men count. They don't do anything for the longest time, and then they do one big thing, and they think, man, that ought to last me for a long time. Men, what you don't understand is women don't count like that. They count by ones. So when you, if a woman loves her feet rubbed, and you rub her feet, that's 1 point, okay? If you remember an anniversary, that's 1 point. If you get a gift for the anniversary, that's 1 point. If you, you know, brush your hair, if that's what she likes, that's 1 point. And so women count by ones, not by 50s and 100s. So a woman, I mean, as much as she appreciates that you occasionally, gentlemen, do something really big for her, most women would rather have lots of little things done day in, day out, every single day. Any woman say amen to that? Okay. Amen to that? It's those little things, you know, rub my back, you know, give me a hug, help me clean the kitchen, do a project for me, help me in some way. It's all those little things that mean so much to a woman. It's not just the, you know, the big thing as much as they appreciate that, but it's those little things that will really matter. So as a man, when you, especially in a romantic relationship or ultimate marriage relationship, you want to be doing lots of little things to really bless your spouse, bless that special woman in your life. So that's just an important thing to realize. I kind of had a laugh one time. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was kind of bragging. Men kind of do this sometimes, kind of bragging about everything he did for his wife and, you know, for their anniversary. And I said, what'd you do for her? Oh, I got her this really, you know, expensive bracelet, and I got these beautiful necklace and these earrings, and, you know, we went away for a weekend and did this really nice restaurant. Yeah, I really did it up. And I said, why did you do all of that? And he said, you know, it's 10th anniversary. 10th anniversary. And his wife said, it was our 12th, but I'm not going to tell him. She was so thankful that he finally did something, even though it was 2 years late. And he you know, he thought he scored 1,000 points, and maybe he did. I think his wife gave him 5 points for that. So anyway, next one here. Love in the kitchen. Love in the kitchen. Men are microwaves and women are crockpots. Not crackpots. Not crackpots, crockpots. Men are microwaves and women are crockpots. So this is future reference if God allows you to marry or remarry, okay? Future reference. If God allows that to happen in your life. How quickly can a man be ready for sex? Seconds. Anywhere, anytime you'd want. A man is ready, okay? That's just the way how men are created. And God's the one that created them that way. So the opportunity for sex with the love of their life, their wife, they can be ready literally instantaneously. Seconds, minutes, they are absolutely ready. They are microwaves, ready to go and hunt, all right? Gentlemen, what you need to understand is women are completely different. They're crockpots. It's those one-point things all day long that's going to warm a woman up, that's going to bless a woman. Did you say goodbye to her in the morning? Did you tell her you loved her in the morning? You know, did you, check in with her during the day? Did you come home and were you pleasant? Did you have some conversation around the dinner table? Were you helpful that night? All of those one-point things that you do, that's what will warm a woman up. That's what will make a woman ready for a romantic experience with you, is those little things that you do throughout the day that just touch her and bless her and encourage her and help her know that she is loved, she is cherished, she is respected. Again, very, very different the way we're wired. Men, boy, bam, ready. But for women, it's a very different thing. Men are, it's very focused on the sexual act. Women are, it's about the intimacy. It's about the love, and it's about the being together. It's just a very different thing. Not right or wrong, just different. There's a book out by a pastor from Seattle that came out in the last couple of months. He's talking about sex in marriage, in Christian marriage, and he said there's basically three approaches people have towards viewing sex, even Christians. He said some people see sex as gross. They see it as gross. I was in a group a while back, and people were talking fairly openly about some of their sexual experiences. These are Christian single people. And I was so saddened to hear some of the stories of some of the people in the room, because their experiences were gross. There was nothing pleasant about them. There was nothing beautiful about them. There was nothing good or godly about them. As they articulated some of their life experiences, it was gross, and it was very, very sad to hear. There's a lot of people in our society that see sex as God. It's all about sex, and they worship sex more than they worship the God who created sex. And they put sex above all things. They will focus it as God. But God views it as sex is a gift. Sex is a gift. It's a gift. And here's what I like to explain to people. Sex is a lot like fire. Think of a campfire. Think of the flames in that campfire. Think of sitting around that campfire, enjoying the company of the people around you. Maybe cooking some food or doing some marshmallows, talking, singing, whatever it is. So that fire is there. It's beautiful. It's warm. It's wonderful. All of that. So fire in a campfire is an amazing thing. And what a gift a campfire is. But you take that fire out of that campfire ring, and you've got a disaster on your hands. You have a forest fire that will go through and destroy homes, destroy acres, destroy trees, destroy a lifetime of people's building their homes or whatever. We had the Haman fire here in Colorado a number of years ago. I don't know how many tens of thousands of acres it burned. So you take fire out of that fire ring, and it brings tremendous destruction. And sex is God's idea. He created it. He made it. He made it wonderful. He made it good. But he made it to be enjoyed in the confines of a marital relationship. And he made it to be experienced as a gift. As a gift for both people. Both people receiving pleasure. Both people giving pleasure. Both people being blessed by that experience. It's not gross and it's not God. But it's to be a gift. A beautiful gift that God gives. Fire in a fireplace. Next one here is, men are builders and women are beautifiers. Men are builders and women are beautifiers. I have the privilege of doing a lot of things in my life. I'm blessed to be an author and a speaker, and my materials go all over the country and all over the world. And here's what I'll tell you, that I can create content, but I have a graphic designer that works with me full time, and she creates beauty. She can take my plain words on a piece of paper, and because of her work, she makes them absolutely beautiful. And because of the beauty, because of the content, and because of the beauty, my materials go all over the country, all over the world. One of my books has 500,000 copies in print. I used to have it as just something that was on plain white paper, and when it was, no one bought it. And then when my graphic designer made it a full-color booklet, now it's 500,000 copies. It's going into 50 languages around the world, all over the world. Why? Well, the content wasn't any different, but a woman made it beautiful. You know, my wife Sandy, I used to say that I was very black and white, I was very gray, and I used to say Sandy brought all the color, all the beauty, all the music, all the art into my life. You know, without her, I was tremendously boring, but she just brought so much beauty into daily life and daily living. This last year, being single again, I moved up here and bought a house. The house I bought was an Asian lady owned it, and it was 100% white. Every wall was white, every ceiling was white, every cabinet was white. The carpet was basically an off-white. The furniture she had in the house was all white. Her bedroom furniture was all white. Everything was white. White, 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 everywhere you looked. And so I'm like, wow, I can't do that, you know. So I want something with more beauty. So I was trying to think of, you know, okay, how am I going to decorate this? And it was weird to suddenly be decorating without a wife there, you know. I mean, in the past, I always said we decorated early American Sandy. Whatever Sandy wants, Sandy got. I was just kind of, you know, along for the ride. But suddenly I was a single man, and I had to make some decisions, and I had to furnish a house because I kept my home in Colorado Springs. I made that into a furnished vacation home. So I had to completely furnish this white house. And so I had some ideas of some things I wanted to do, but it was interesting. I realized as a man, I'm like, I need help. I need help on how to do this. So one of the Colombian daughters that was part of my family's life, she's an interior designer. So I said, Lisa, can you come up to the house? And so she came up to the house. I said, these are the colors I'm thinking. And we went over it. And together, with Lisa's help, we figured out how to make that home attractive. You know, I could buy the house, you know, but it took a woman's perspective to bring beauty. A woman's perspective to bring beauty. This summer, I wanted to do landscaping, and I had like three or four landscaping companies over, and it was always men. Men were coming over, and they said, we can do this, and we can do that. And I just kept thinking, you know what? If I landscape without a woman's perspective, there's going to be no beauty. I mean, it'll be functional, but the form and the beauty, I mean, I can build it, but it won't be beautiful. And so I had one friend that I invited to come, and a woman say, would you come over and help me? I trust your judgment. Would you help me figure out this backyard? And she wasn't able to. So you know what I did? I did nothing. I'm like, I'm not going to landscape without a woman's perspective. Even though I'm not married, I can still find a sister in Christ who can bring beauty, can bring counsel, can bring wisdom into my life. Gentlemen, we all need to realize this. It's not just about a dating relationship. It's about having women in your life. And however they can come into your life, God looks at you and says, you need help. You need encouragement. You need beautifiers. And women do that. Women bring the beauty. Men can build, but women bring beauty. This last weekend, I was preaching in Pittsburgh, and I stayed in a log home. No, it wasn't a log home. It was a log mansion. It was a mansion. And it was one of the biggest homes I've ever seen. And they actually built that home here in Colorado with Colorado logs. And they built the entire home here in Colorado, and then they numbered all the logs, they took it apart, and they shipped it to Pittsburgh. And then they rebuilt the house in Pittsburgh. But it was an absolutely beautiful structure. And I got to, you know, I was staying there for the weekend, and I got to meet the couple who owned it and got to have breakfast with them and talking to them. And the man was telling me about how it got built. But here's the deal. That home was absolutely gorgeous inside. The artwork, the lighting, the furniture, the furnishings, the knickknacks. I mean, there was beauty everywhere in that house. And the man had nothing to do with it. Okay? He built the house, but the woman brought the beauty. And it was just neat to just see that kind of lived out. Here was this man that built something, this incredible home, but here was a woman that beautified something with the gifts and abilities that she had. And that was neat. Next one here is mirror, mirror on the wall. How men and women look in the mirror differently. I can spend a lot of time on this one, but I've always just found this one funny. You can take the most attractive woman on the planet. You can put her in front of a mirror, and she will pick out every flaw she has. She will pick out every flaw. Her nose isn't quite right. Her lips aren't quite right. You know, there's a wrinkle on her neck. There's this, there's that. So a woman can look in the mirror and pick out all the details of all of the things wrong. Now you can take the most unattractive man on the planet, put him in front of a mirror, and he'd be like, whoa, I'm God's gift to women. And he'll just literally like be so proud of what he sees in that mirror, even though there's nothing to be proud of. You know, men look in the mirror and say, yeah, some men have six packs, but I got a quarter barrel, you know. So it's just the craziest thing. So you take an attractive woman, or take any woman, let them look in the mirror, and they just, you know, oh, they don't like so many things. Take any, most men put in front of a mirror, and they're like, wow, it's amazing how good looking I am. I am God's gift, okay? And it's just a crazy, crazy way to look at it. That one maybe is a right or wrong, I don't know. But anyway, just need to know that. Just people look at things differently. But men, this is important for when you come into a, especially a marital relationship. Your wife wants you to know, she wants to know that you think she's beautiful. Okay? She wants to know that you think and you believe she's beautiful. One of my favorite lines with my wife is always the phrase, you make that dress look beautiful. Okay? Which is different than a beautiful dress, right? Yeah, write that down. You make that dress look beautiful. You are beautiful. I love you. I value you. I cherish you. You know, she went through cancer journey and all the operations that had to go on. And all the things it did to her body, and all that junk, you know, that happens. And yet my view of her was like, you are the most beautiful woman I know. And I said, your beauty radiates from the inside out, and you are precious inside, and you are precious outside, and I love you. You are a beautiful, beautiful woman. And I believe that till the day she died. You treasure women. Women are to be treasured and cherished. And they're to be told they're beautiful and to be appreciated and valued. And men, we need to realize that. All right. Next one here. Women are fact gatherers and men are storytellers. Women are fact gatherers and men are storytellers. If women get together, oh my goodness, there is so much information shared in such a short amount of time. I mean, you quickly know about the kids, about the husband, about the work, about the career, about the neighbors, about the in-laws, about this and about that, and about vacations, and about travels, and what you bought, and what you got, and what you did. Oh, my God, it just is amazing. You know, some women talk 100 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 140. You know, sharing information. And it's amazing how much information women can share and get from one another. I mean, that is a gift that men do not have. Okay? Men do not have. But what do men have? Men are storytellers. They don't look for the details. They don't want any information. But if a man makes a statement or tells a story, a guy's like, oh, yeah, well, I got a better one. Oh, yeah, you did this. Well, I did that. You spent $300. Well, I spent $1,000. You built this big of a house. Well, I built a bigger house. And men are all about stories and one-upmanship. So you listen to men talk. They don't share all kinds of details. They really don't. It's all about waiting for their opportunity to get in a story. Something that happened, something they did. And so men just swap stories, not information. And here's the other thing as women you need to understand. The stories don't have to really be true. They don't have to be 100% accurate. How many women have been in a situation with a man, and so there's a few couples together, and the man says, well, you know, last Thursday I was with, you know, and the wife goes, no, honey, it was Friday, it wasn't Thursday. Okay, well, last Friday I was with four guys. No, honey, it wasn't four. Remember, Joe left, and it was really only three of you. Okay, well, last Friday I was with three of my friends, and we went to this restaurant, Joe's Bar and Grill. No, it wasn't Joe's Bar and Grill, honey. No, that was not correct. It wasn't Joe's Bar and Grill. You stopped by there, but someone else thought it wasn't a good place, so they were closed. So then you went into this other place. So the guy's like, okay, well, anyway, so I went with my friends on Friday, and we didn't go to Joe's Bar and Grill, but we went over here, and then we saw. You said you got home at 10:30. No, you got home at 11. Because here's what a woman's afraid of. Someone's thinking, he's not telling the exact facts. He's not telling the truth, and I don't want anyone to think badly of him. Men don't care. They don't care if it was Thursday or Friday. They don't care what the name of the restaurant was. They don't care if there were three fellows or four fellows. They really don't care. They just want the story, okay? So ladies, if you're ever around men, it could be your father, your brother, your child, whatever, just let them tell their story. Don't interrupt. Just let them tell their story, because that's what it's about. It's not about all the facts and getting them all correct and getting them all accurate. It's literally just letting a guy or a young man tell a story or tell a joke or whatever it is. The other thing when it comes to fact gathering and storytellers, imagine a man goes golfing and he's with three buddies 6 hours, 7 hours. So the wife's thinking, well, they had to talk about something. So the wife comes home. I mean, the guy comes home, and the wife will say, well, what'd you find out about the guys? And the guy will say, gentlemen, what? Nothing! Because they were all in their nothing boxes, okay? Nothing! They swapped stories all day! And a woman will think, you're keeping secrets from me? And he's like, no, really, we didn't talk about anything. No, you couldn't have been together for 6 hours and not talked about something. Didn't Bill tell you that he and his wife, Wendy, are having marital problems? Nope, never came up. Didn't Larry tell you that his child's flunking out of sixth grade? Nope, don't remember that conversation. And Bill's one son's on marijuana. Don't you know that? No, that never came up. And we were like, you've got to be kidding. You spent 6 hours and you don't know anything? Guy's like, nope, don't know anything. It's not right or wrong, it's just, what? Different! They really don't, the guys don't say a lot. You know, they just don't. And so while women prize the value of information, men don't. And so it's just very, very different. All right, that gets us to the next one here. Men like the big picture. And women like all the details. I've been in some of these conversations, and I'll hear one woman tell another woman, tell me everything that happened and don't leave out any details. Okay? You know, they want to know all the details. All right? You know, it's like women with their children. Women with their children, they know their names for sure. Guys sometimes get their names right. Okay, they know their names. They know their friends' names. They know their struggles. They know their problems. They know what they like. They know what they don't like. They know their favorite dessert. They know what their favorite meal is. They know all kinds of details about their children. Men are aware of short people running around the house. Just different. It's just different. I used to like to say that when I was married, I said, my wife made all the little decisions. She would decide where we were going to live and what kind of car we were going to drive and what house we'd live in and what neighborhood and where the kids would go to school. And I decided all the big decisions, whether to recognize Red China, what to do about the war on poverty, what to do about the Middle East crisis. So I left all the small stuff to her, and I only concentrated on the big picture. Different studies. This is an interesting fact, and there's different reports on this, but here's something interesting about the difference between women and men. Women, one study says speaks an average of 8,000 words a day and uses 5 tones of speech. The average man uses 2,000 words and 3 tones. One study said women use 8,000 to 10,000 facial expressions per day while talking, not all at once unless they're mad. And men use only 2,000 to 3,000 facial expressions. Some other studies say women speak 20,000 words, men speak 10,000 or 9,000 or 6,000. So no matter what study you pick up on, here is what you will find. Women speak a lot more words than men. Women are much more expressive, much more detailed, gathering information, sharing information. But here's one of the challenges, and those of you that were married, a man, if he did so if he spoke, let's take the numbers here. So if a woman speaks 8,000 words in a day, especially when you had younger kids, and a man uses only 2,000 words a day, he goes off to work and he used 1,990. And then he comes home. He's only got 10 left. And ladies, you've been home all day by yourself with little kids. You got 8,000 to go. And so you say to him, honey, how was your day? Fine. What do you want for dinner? I don't care. He's already used up four of it. I don't care. And fine. You want to do anything tonight? Nope. Okay. We're just about to the limit. And so a woman, so the tension and the problems are huge, because a man's already all, he spent all the words he's got. His budget for word, the words for the day are gone. And a woman's just getting revved up. There was one comedian, he said this, he said, once I didn't talk to my wife for 6 months. He said, I didn't want to interrupt what she was saying. So women love the details. They love to gather them. They love to share them. And men, big picture, give me the critical information. Give me what I need. Give me a need to know kind of stuff. And it's just different. Not right or wrong, just different. This is an interesting one. Men relate side by side. Women relate face to face. Think about that. Men relate side by side. Women relate face to face. When it comes to men, they work in teams, and those teams typically work side by side. They work on a task. They're very much shoulder to shoulder, and they're conquering things, or they're competitive, or they're doing things. They're looking forward, and so they'll join with those around them, and so that's what they do. They work side to side. Their life is a side to side world. What are we going to accomplish? What are we going to do? What are we going to win? Where are we going? And it's very much forward-focused, and it's very much side-to-side. Women, on the other hand, relate face-to-face and in circles. So, you know, a lot of ways, so circles work, face-to-face work, but it's just different. Because for a woman, it's not about the task. It's not about the winning. It's not about the competition. It's about the being together. It's about the sharing of information and the sharing of lives and all of those things. And so it's just very, very different. But for men, it's usually about, it's about winning, or it's about competing and those kinds of things. For a woman, it's about being together. For a man, it's about beating the other person, or beating the other team, or beating the person, the group that has the market share. So it's very much forward-looking for a man, very much side-to-side. But for women, it's very much face-to-face, very much in a circle environment, even if they're cooking together. You know, women don't all line up this way. They go around, and they're around the table together, and they're doing something, and they're talking, and they're interfacing. So it's just something different, that men and women live life differently that way. All right, next one here is shopping mall madness. Shopping mall madness. Men hunt, and women gather. Men hunt, and women gather. Men decide that they need something. They come out of their cave. They go find it, they kill it, and they drag it home. Mission accomplished. So women come out of the cave and go, and they gather. What can I find out there today? Okay. It's very, very different. So men come, they're very focused, there's a strong purpose. I had some friends, they were on a trip down to Florida. They all went on a camping trip together, like four couples. And one of the guys, one morning after breakfast, kind of had brunch, he said, well, I need to run over to the mall. And a bunch of people said, well, that's a great idea. Let's go to the mall. And he said, well, no, I'm just going to run over to the mall and get something. And he said, no, let's all go together. So he was doing this man thing, all right? So he had the van. So everybody piled into the van. And he was the driver. So he had the keys. So he drove to the van. He drove to Sears. He bought his tool. And he said, okay, let's get back in the van. And the women were like, whoa, we just got here. But you see, he had his man hat on. He had, no, I'm coming out of my cave. I have something I need at the Sears tool department. I'm going to go get it. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to drag it home. And that's what I'm doing. And so, but he didn't realize that for the women. It's like, no, this is an adventure. What might we find out then? You know, and a lot of women will come home after a shopping trip and say, look at the treasures I found. Look at all the money I saved us. But when she went out that day, she had no idea what treasure she was looking for. She had no idea what she would save. But if you don't understand those differences, you can be frustrated. I used to do a lot of financial counseling with people. And I remember one guy said, oh, my wife, she just shops and shops and shops and shops and shops. She's spending money all the time. You know, our mess is because of her. I looked at all the finances and I said, here's the truth. I said, you live in your cave and you never go out, and you never go shopping, you always complain about your wife shopping, but here's the deal. She's spending $1 and $5 and $10 and $20 and $25 and $50, and when you come out of your cave, you're going to buy a computer, you're going to buy a gun, you're going to buy a TV, you're going to buy a car, you're going to buy a boat, you're spending thousands of dollars when you come out of your cave to hunt for shopping, you know, shopping something, and you go buy it and get it. The budget busters are not your wife, I said to him. It's what you're doing when you go come out of your cave and you go something, get something. I'm going to go get something because I deserve it. I said, that's where the problems are coming in. And so I had to literally work with that couple to say, look, it's not all the little gathering that's going on. It's literally saying to that man, you know, you don't do anything for 3 or 4 months. You don't spend any money for 3 or 4 months. But then when you finally come out of that cave, you're spending thousands of dollars that you don't have. And so I had to challenge them to really think through their lives and their marriage and how to do it a little differently. Next thing here, it's not really a comparison, but it's a tip for male and female relationships. I've gotten to know a number of Christian women, and usually we have conversations about dating and other people and so forth, and this question has come up sometimes, and I thought the other day I was reading my Bible, and God, I thought, wow, God answers this question. When does God want you to say no to someone's request to have a meal together? So you meet someone, whether, some people meet online, some people, you know, meet in person, whatever, but at some point someone says, and this can go both ways, you can go male to female or female to male, but suddenly there's a decision, you know, should we have a meal together? Should we get together? Very interesting verse in 1 Corinthians 5:11. And some people aren't going to like this verse, by the way. But let me just say this as a disclaimer. When it comes to the Word of God in the Bible, it doesn't matter what I think or what anyone else thinks. It matters what God thinks. And so ultimately, the challenge is, will we live lives aligned with God's will for our lives? But here's, so imagine you get invited out by someone, male or female, on a date. It says this, I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin. Literally, the word there means a fornicator. It means to have sexual activity outside of marriage. And it's interesting because the word there was, it was one who surrenders their sexual purity. It literally means God intends you to be sexually pure, but you surrender it to a person or you surrender it to an activity. And God says with that kind of person, and he also goes on to say also someone who's abusive, and this is the whole idea of if someone rails at you, if somebody just tees off on you, somebody just, I mean, they just give a torrent of words, of negative and nasty words in your direction. So God says somebody that's sexually immoral, somebody that literally rails at you, or someone that's a drunkard, literally is drinking to the point of drunkenness, the Bible says don't even eat with such people. So the answer always is no. But you know what? You have to be really bold to ask that question. You have to be bold to ask someone, say, well, you know, yeah, I might be interested in getting together for dinner or for lunch or whatever, but you know, I just need to know something. You know, what's your view of sexual activity before marriage? That's an interesting question. And I know some people in this room that have asked people that question. And when the people have answered it, they've had to then say, you know what, I'm going to have to pass on getting together. Because your views and my views are not compatible because I'm trying to live a godly life and based on what you're telling me, that's not what you're about. That's not what you're after. So very, very interesting that God gives a very, very strong caution on this. I actually have a friend, I don't know if I saw her here tonight or not. She wrote me an email a while back. She was, we've emailed a lot. We haven't been able to spend a lot of time together, but we've done a lot of emailing. But she, I want to write, and she gave me her permission to read this. But it's on this whole subject of sexual activity and dating relationships and so forth. She says this, I had an interesting thing happen to me over the weekend. I was attending a social function and met a couple of wonderful ladies. We got to talking and I found out that one was newly divorced after 24 years of marriage. She was a kind and lovely lady and definitely wanted to be married again and to love again. So she asked me for advice about the dating world after a long-term marriage. Her specific question to me was, how long should you date a man before you sleep with him? That was the question. How long should you date a man before you sleep with him? She writes, after I got the shock off my face, my answer not only surprised and shocked her and her friend, but you could also see the relief on their faces also. Women are pressured and expected to put out in a dating relationship. I told them that any man who would leave you because you wouldn't sleep with him is not worthy of your attention.
Yes.
Isn't that a cool line? Do not waste your time with him. I can only speak from the woman's side, but women need to be told that they do have a say in this, and they need to know their boundaries. Falling in love can happen without sex. Then she asked me, what are some red flags? And I told her, if he is just trying to get you to sleep with him, back away from the relationship. You do not need the pressure. Number two, if he exhibits anger tendencies and is easily upset, that's that railing idea. If you feel you need to walk on eggshells with him so that he doesn't get upset, run from that relationship. Three, if he flirts with women when he is with you or when he is not with you, run from that relationship, that man. This man has an ego problem that needs to be filled by others, and he could possibly be a narcissist, which means self-absorbed, vain, selfish, egotistical. Then she gave a conclusion. If a man makes you feel like you're the most important person in the world to him, now you've got something. Many men are so caught up in themselves these days that they don't know what it looks like to give and to love. And just because they say they are Christian means nothing. You will know them by their fruits. Sometimes the quote-unquote Christians have been the worst. Some men should just not be married. Many just do not have what it takes to have a successful relationship, no matter how much you teach them about it. Pretty powerful words. But you know, what I found was interesting with this email was it absolutely matches up with the verse I just read. God says, amen. Amen. So that's a thing to be very, very mindful of. Okay, next one here is male-female relationship tip. Overcoming problems together. And this I discovered as a pastor. I was shocked at the level of people that resorted to name-calling in their relationship. Tearing down the other person, destroying the other person with their words, saying hurtful things. And I say this, never resort to name calling, but always resort to calling on the name. Psalm 50:15 says, the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. In my own 28-year marriage, I can honestly say before you and my wife was here, she could testify, I never called her a name. She never called me a name. We were able to operate with respect for each other and love for one another. Oh, we had our difficulties. We had our problems. We had our things we had to work through. And usually what it meant was sometimes we had to say, you know what, we're at a point of disagreement. And what I used to always say is when we're at a point of disagreement, there's three things that are needed. Either more time, more information, or more prayer. Not going to battle with each other. We're going to live life with each other. We're co-heirs together in the gracious gift of life, the Bible says. So more time, more information, or more prayer. Psalm 50:15, the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. It is a good thing when you are in a disagreement with a male, if you're a female, or a female, if you're a male. It's an appropriate thing, even in friendships, to pray. Even in friendships to pray. I appreciate Jane and I working on this ministry together. There are times we just pray. We don't have all the answers. This thing has grown way bigger, way faster than anybody ever imagined it would happen. And so there's sometimes we just pray. We just commit it to the Lord. I mean, there's so many moving parts to a ministry like this, and we don't have all the answers. So it's an appropriate thing to pray. And so always, always remember that. But anyway, so those are some tips, those are some ideas, those are some fun facts. Again, a lot of these things you've already known or you've already experienced, but hopefully I was able to crystallize them in a way that, you know, you're going to be able to go to work this week if you work, or to back to your families or in future relationships, and just realize, hey, it's not about right and wrong. It's about different, being different, and respecting the differences and appreciating the differences and realizing that many of those differences are God-given. God created them, male and female. He created them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of friendships. Thank you for men. Thank you for women. Thank you that this whole thing is your idea. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't create ourselves. You created us. And yet you want us to understand each other. You want us to respect each other. You want us to appreciate and value each other. And so, Lord, I pray that everyone in this room, that there would be something that they could take away tonight. They may not agree with everything that was said tonight, but if they can take away an idea or a thought or something that would help them in their male to female relationships, you know, that would be a great thing. So in their family and in their workplace and in their in the people they meet, may these things be helpful to them so that they can more appreciate and more value that men can value women and women can value men in a greater degree and show respect to one another and bless one another. And for this, we'll give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen.